Welcome to Dr. Ty and the Colonel. Another week, another set of things that really anger us, as well as just kind of what's going on in the world. I'm here, as always, with the Colonel, Adam Gamble.
Good morning.
And we have a very, very special guest. First time in Dr. Ty history, we have our first guest, the Red Polar Bear himself, Mr. Denny McDaniel.
How are we doing today? I'm just so overwhelmed to be on the show and to bring the IQ average down by probably 30 points.
Yeah, but
you do bring hair, though.
You
bring the hair that neither of us have, and that's
exactly. Front to back.
Front to back, yeah. Not just on the back.
And this is definitely the heaviest podcast in town right now. There's no doubt about it.
We cannot all get on an elevator together.
No, or a boat.
No. There's no canoeing with us.
No.
Got to rock it back and forth, man. For those of you who don't know how, first of all, I should introduce myself. I am Dr. Mathis Burnett, of the doctor namesake. If those of you don't know how this podcast works, we like to go in and first thing we do is we talk about kind of the news of the day, and then we take a little break for a word from our sponsor because you got to pay the bills. And then we roll into what grinds our gears, what angers us about what's going on and what's happening with us today, because we're just angry and negativity is always funny. So first thing, obviously on everybody's mind, no doubt about it. States are reopening, boys. It's happening, man. We are finally going to get people getting to leave the house. Stores are opening, even though in a weird way. What's going on as far as what are your thoughts on reopening states, man? Denny, you go first.
You know, it's definitely something that everybody wants it to happen, obviously for the economy and everybody's cooped up and stuff like that. But I think we're doing it the right way, open it very slowly. Eventually it's got to open up, but what I love about it is how everybody, you know, opened up, you know, Georgia, Florida, was it last week, I believe it was, fully opened up, and they're saying, oh, their cases aren't up. Well, everybody's got to remember it's a 14-day incubation period for the virus. So let's pump the brakes a little bit, and let's slow down until, you know, we get that 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out, you know, and then start seeing.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's, you know, like the rates in Georgia are off the chain. There's no doubt that the rates are going up. But they also did 50,000 more tests than they had done previously. So, I mean,
yeah,
I agree with you. You got to, you know, it has to be a slow process of reopening. You can't just be like, all right, everybody go start, you know, mouth breathing into each other's faces in the bar again. But, you know, they're doing it the right way, and it's just a wait and see at this point. And when everything's rolled back, we're going to have to, you know, everything will be modified still. We're not going to be, like, out of the woods until there's some kind of vaccine with this thing.
Well, you know what amazes me is the fact of, like, that people think, like, it was just going to imagine, like, you were going to flip a switch and suddenly, you know, schools were going to be back open. And, like, we were going to go back and everything was going to be the way it was. Once again, I thought, like, hey, the buffet is going to open up. That was super, like, you know, but that's not what happened at all.
No, you know that the buffet ain't coming back. You know that the buffet is dead.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, it's a sad, sad day.
I had the thought that that a bunch of, like, Sweatman's and those places would close forever, and I had a deep panic attack the other day.
You're not going to shut down Sweatman's. That place.
It can't happen.
But you talk about that, I think it's also kind of funny about how everybody, you know, they're this pandemic, they're like, you know, I equate it to people down here in Charleston, all we know is hurricanes. That's all we really know. And it's kind of like a hurricane. You know, the hurricanes, it's gone. We got electricity back on. We're back to life. And it's not that way with this thing. That's how everybody's trying to, you know, kind of treating it to me.
Well, if you don't believe that, talk about like a hurricane, think about how people attacked, got prepared for this thing.
What first week of it, everybody bought water.
Yeah.
First week, everybody bought water. Like this thing didn't work.
Going, oh, my gosh. Okay. Won't dry you out. You got to drink so much. Stay hydrated.
What I do love, though, is that exactly what everybody said would happen on Twitter is exactly what happened. They remember at the first started, they said, if this works, everybody will say it was overblown. Everybody.
Yes.
And that is exactly what has happened. I got an argument. And then let me tell you the kind of time I have. I got on Facebook because I saw a meme that pissed me off about like it, like because the numbers were wrong and my nerd brain started going and I started researching it because it said like the number of people in the state of Democrats were higher than Republicans, and I was like, that's not right. And then I proceeded to argue with an insurance salesman that I go to church with. And what's funny is because I'm the only liberal Democrat in the state, they all like tapped me on the head, like, it's okay, Sparky, we know. It was great. It was a good time. But and I
there's no lower form of debate than Facebook debate. It's right up. It's right below two crackheads yelling at each other in an alley.
Colonel, I don't know if you saw his post, but his post said, "I saw this and it aggravated me. Since I have time and I do research, he went. I mean, he went straight doctor mode on it.
Of course he did. You gotta pull the tie out every now and then.
He went MLA format. He's citing references. And
stuff. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, it's important you name, date, professor name. You have to make sure you get that stuff straight.
It's important to use a word you know that they don't know, but you know, to make them feel stupid and small and angry.
Oh, it said if you post this, if you don't speak against it, you tacitly accept it, knowing they have no idea what the word.
Oh, he used tacit. So you're right there, drinking game at home. Somebody's got to take a shot. Starting early in the cast today.
No doubt. One thing that's changing, boys. I don't know if you saw it. Is that the ACT and SAT are no longer to be used in college admissions in the state of California, which that is going to be a whole new world for high school students. And we all know that horror of ACT, SAT. What's your thoughts on it, man? Like, what does this mean? For those who don't know, we're all educators here. So, you know, what is that going to mean for everybody?
I just want to know where was that 25 years ago.
For real.
It kind of limited my options when I was coming out.
No, yeah, I was taking the SAT, and I was like, well, you can go to Coastal or Alabama. Those are the only places they want you, and that's just because you have a pulse. So,
that's so true. Yeah. I mean, we're all in education, and we've all been to college, and we all have several degrees between us. But I just think it's – I never understood what the importance of the SAT or the ACT. How that one test equates your success in college.
There's none. It doesn't even have anything to do with how college works.
Nothing at all. You know, nothing. So it always just drove me crazy because of that. And especially with athletes, because we're all dealing that realm as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to have a certain GPA and a certain SAT score. That doesn't equate to anything, you know, how they're going to be in college and stuff like that. So.
No, some kids get to college and they're like, oh, I don't have all this, like, these BS hoops to jump through. I'm going to thrive now. Because
that was me. I had
same.
Graduated high school. I graduated like right at a 3.0, whatever. And when I went to college, I graduated with like a 3.9 or something.
Yeah.
I excelled in college.
I did too.
And see, I'm exactly the opposite. The SAT is what got me in school because, like, I was a typical, like, I'm everything teachers hate. Because high school teachers hate because I hated doing like the notebook checks because let's be real, I'm a nasty dude. And like my trapper keeper had like the stuff falling out of it and I never kept up with my stuff.
They look like Zodiac killer journals anyway. So it really doesn't matter.
But I made 100 on the test. So like I'd have 100 test average and like a 30 classwork average, which was like my move.
Yeah.
But then, you know, here's the thing, ACT, SAT was always to me like, I mean, it was a game. So it wasn't like, you just one day sit down, take the test. And so that was easy. But that being said, I think when you look at it, you're really testing somebody's economic status, not their actual knowledge base. When you look at the numbers, you know, there's a lot, it's staggering. Kids who are middle to upper middle to high class kids or high income kids score so much better than low-income kids. It's insane.
That's the point of the test. If there's a book out there called The Power of Privilege, where literally it talks about how they created the SAT and the ACT for the sole purpose. Like Harvard and Yale were the first to adopt it because they had to figure out a way to make it harder for people to get in there so they wouldn't have to take everybody. So once Harvard and Yale do something, then Princeton and Brown start doing it, and then it just trickles down. Everybody started doing it, but it was really just for schools to figure out a way to be more selective in their process. It's totally arbitrary and made up, but they're just like, we got to have something to keep the, you know, the rabble out, the brunettes of the world out of there.
Yeah. I don't know, like, to me, I'm not sure. The problem becomes, like, what are you going to use as criteria? Because at some point, if you don't – I mean – it's going to become so – now it's going to go the other way. It's going to be so subjective of, you know, how are you going to determine who gets in and who doesn't, which is funny to me because it's kind of like, I don't know, I watched that stupid, like, my wife is a huge, like, you know, Lifetime fan, so that Lori Loughlin thing.
Yeah.
I never understood was is why they had to be labeled crew recruits, because that's a private school. They can let in who they want to. Dr. Dre brought a $400 million building so his daughter could go there. Like,
it happens all over America at every college.
I mean, let's be real. The Colonel, I'm sure his dad bought the library at Carolina so he could get into Carolina. There's no
question. The Colonel's dad wishes he could buy the library in Carolina. Williamsburg County is not exactly a lucrative market.
Whereas Denny's dad just built the weight room over there at CSU with the iron.
100%.
Used his bare hands to do it, just mushing iron bars.
Brought in us one squat rack at a time.
I'm going to tell you, there needs to be a separate podcast, just Denny McDaniel's CSU stories, because it is the funniest thing ever of a fledgling program.
Talking about it, it's like the Beverly Hillbillies without finding oil. It's what it is, because we had no money, but we thought we were high class. Oh my god!
It's like Grapes of Wrath, the football story.
100%.
Oh, and made no mistake, Adam. They played like all the big dogs, and they had to come to that stadium in Charleston, which is the
I think I've heard the Wofford story. The Wofford, I think it's Wofford outside beer story or something like that.
Hold on. Bump that. South Florida. Like the yeah.
my freshman year, we played, and we're getting down the rabbit hole here. My freshman year, we played in our first five ball games, we played the top four teams in 1AA. The top four teams in 1AA.
Great scheduling.
Whenever your head coach gives a pregame speech, he goes, guys, our job today is to go out. They got better equipment than you. They got better coaches. They're better players. They brought in their own locker room that's better than ours here. Our job today is to go out and keep it within 60. If we keep within 60, it's a win for us.
Jesus Christ.
Final score, 66-7. Celebration.
Well done, boys. Well done.
Well, that does it for the first section of our show, which always just kind of freewheeling talk. We're going to have a word from our sponsor, Anchor, who will let you do this for the low, low price of $0. You just have to go through and find it. Great service. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back. This is by far the most popular section of our podcast for all 12 people who listen to it, and the bots that I've just paid for, and the Indian server farms. This is the Grind My Gears section, which is always fun. We just tell you what has really angered us today. And as the guest, we are going to allow Denny to go first. Denny, what is just pissing you off today?
I don't know if we have enough time for me to listen.
Oh, we got time, big fella.
Right now, buddy. I'm so excited right now. I'm starting to develop a little bit of a teat sweat because I'm just running like crazy to be on this segment right now. What grinds my gears, first of all, is real quick, poachers, and I'm not talking about, you know, those that kill animals, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole real quick, but my first thing really is adults who dress like their kids, and I'm not talking about, you know, a mom and a little baby. I'm talking about teenagers. I was in Lowe's the other day, and this guy walked around the corner and asked where something was, and he's like, yo, dad, it's over here. And the guy turned around, they had matching outfits on. And this guy was at least 45 years old, trying to dress like he's like 16. And I'm like, come on, man. Come on. You're the reason why they label us this down here in Charleston. Please don't wear that stuff. Please don't dress like you're, you know, a jersey by the time you're 25 should not be allowed.
You should not be allowed to wear a jersey once you get past the age of 16.
I agree, unless it's on game day. Unless you're playing the game itself.
Yeah, if there aren't pads underneath that jersey, you don't need to be wearing a jersey anymore.
Also,
not mention Redskins.
Yeah, and I'm be real with you. Like, let's be honest. Once you reach a certain age, if you're white, let's stop with the flat bill. Like, come on, guys. It is absolutely time to go ahead and give that up. You know what? Some things just not meant for all people. I hate to say that. It's just not. And if you're over the age of 30 wearing a flat bill, it's time to reevaluate your life.
I tell you what else. When I see like an adult white dude in like hip jeans and like Vans, I immediately know from that point on, I do not want to speak or nor do I want to interact with this person.
Oh yeah, no question, no question.
My question with that real quick is skinny jeans.
Yes.
You know, if you're wearing a size 40, they're not skinny, they're tight.
Yes. I mean, very tight, very snug.
Let's be honest.
Well, and let's be honest, anybody talking on this podcast right now, we all shop in the Husky section, so we don't know what skinny jean is.
No, I love Denny's Grind My Gears, though, so much. I detest adults who dress like their children. It is the worst thing out there.
Oh, yeah. And listen, it's not just men, because if I see one more 400-pound girl wearing a shirt that says Juicy, I'm going to absolutely murder someone.
Well, you know, spend enough time at a Walmart, you're going to see that type of stuff.
What was that girl's name when Willy Wonka turned into Blueberry?
Oh, Violet.
Violet, yeah, take her to the juicer.
Yeah, for real.
And there's nothing worse than that cleavage where the words are hanging and they're pointed straight down because that's how low everything's hanging. Yeah, that's a problem.
We saw a woman dressed like that she had tucked her belly into her sweatpants. Like, the belly was tucked deep into the sweatpants. And Mrs. the Colonel saw that in the car outside of the restaurant that we were going to. She's like, I don't know if I can eat there. I don't really want to eat there anymore. It was so troubling to her, we had to just keep on going. We just drove right past the building and kept on going.
That's amazing. Well, looking at some different things here, we did decide to kind of keep our – other than that one, because I know my man Denny wanted to keep that. But we also talked about that we were going to kind of try to theme out our Grinds My Gears a little bit. And today is very special because we want to talk about movie tropes and cliches, things we really can't stand about movies that make no sense when you look at them.
Yes.
And I'll go first. My first one is the high school party in movies angers me.
Yes.
I've been to a lot of high school parties, and – where do these people live? There's always like waterfalls. There's a DJ, there's always lights. Whereas the high school parties that I went to in high school was like four dudes backing up a truck to a fire out in the middle of the woods, or you were in somebody's trailer.
Like, well, to be fair, all right. Your high school experience more or less is like Beavis and Butthead's neighborhood, like come to life, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, y'all's idea of like a good Friday night would be like, you know, Shining Hogs and doing whipping, right? Like, that's like the when I imagine the Pines on a Friday night, that's what I imagine. Like, all the 20-year-olds dating the 15-year-olds, like, I imagine that kind of stuff, like, you know, real standard. An Andrews kind of night. You know, I'm not hating on you.
Oh, there's no doubt. That I don't think a girl I knew in high school, you couldn't date a high school girl unless you were 24.
There was absolutely.
And you had to have
you
that.
You couldn't date a high school girl unless you could rent a car.
Oh, yeah. And you had to have that jacked up Nissan with that 45-foot whip antenna on it with the 10 tennis balls.
Well, what kind of system were you bumping that time? I mean, you had to have at least – if you didn't have 212s, nobody could – you couldn't talk to anybody.
Hey, I'm going to tell you now, my Tara station wagon had 310s in the back of it, and it would like – hey, it would jump. Like, it was good stuff.
Best part is you always say, you know, had 310s, you know, 8-inch subwoofer, and then pushing it with a, you know, 160 amp. Oh, you got a 160 amp. Oh, my God. How many times you played DJ Magic Mike, feel the bass? feel the bass.
Adam, what you got, man?
Okay. This is just a classic one. It's where they take the glasses off the hot girl, and all of a sudden she's hot now. Like, before, when she had the glasses on, she just looked like dog crap. And, I mean, like, could barely, like, you know, like, greasy and everything. And then they pull those glasses off, and she's just fine immediately.
Oh,
like, they're like, we need to give you a makeover. And they just pull them off, and they're like, you're ready. Oh, so yeah.
The she's all that moment.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She's all that, clueless, all – 490s movies that were the exact same.
Yeah. And you know what those movies always teach you? It's what's on the inside that counts. That's 100% what those movies teach you. You know?
Which ain't true. You're out there for your kids listening. Nobody cares about your inside.
Yeah. It's always amazing to me. Like, you and there's always that montage, sort of like another thing that angers me, and I'll get to it in a minute, is the, you know, the training montage, just like the makeup montage where they go through and like they're doing all this stuff. Just like the training montage, like in Kickboxer, where for some reason he needs to be able to stretch completely to the ceiling. which I don't understand why that's necessary. It doesn't make any sense to me about why, like, you know, and not only that, they're going to be ready and done in less than a day. Karate Kid, he becomes a black belt in less than 2 weeks and beats people who've been doing karate since they were four.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Denny, what you got, man?
what I really can't stand in the movies is I can go a couple of directions here, but the one that always bothers me is I'm an action film guy. I love that kind of stuff. And like the John Wick and, you know, the movie that's on Netflix right now, John Wick in India, Extraction, whatever.
Yeah.
It's 27 people were killed in the scene. He shoots them all in the head twice and never reloads. Or he just keeps reloading. He has like 86 clips on a person. I mean, it's such
a bad one.
I would love to, you know, actually have a movie where guy shoots it. Also, he's like, crap, I'm out of ammo. And, you know, and has to figure out something better. I mean, it's like they always just keep pulling them out, load them up, keep pulling them out, load them up. And along those same lines is when there's 10 going to fight the one, why do they all take turns to go after the guy? Why not all 10 jump on at the same time? It's like they're trying to double dutch. They're trying to time it up where they're going to jump into the action.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Instead of all of them just running in and beating the Christ out of them, they're like, let's pause and wait.
I'm going to give him a shot here.
Yeah. The honor of the fight, even though we're terrorists.
Oh, I always love how, and what's funny, that whole like non-reloading thing has even come from like Western films where they would have a six shooter and they're fanning it. Like they're flapping that back, that hammer back. And somehow a revolver has 47 shots. Who would have known?
And also, there's no kick on a revolver ever. None. You're just holding it like this, and it, you know.
Yeah, and I understand too that you have to have suspension of disbelief a little bit. Like you have to have, you know, it's a movie, so things have to happen for the movie to move forward. But some of this stuff, man, like, is absolutely insane. Like the guy who gets another great one is the guy who gets shot and he's laying there. He is completely down, and then the villain begins to monologue, and then at the end, your hero's about to die, and my man finds a way to get up and shoot said villain, even though he's been down on the ground bleeding profusely for the last 45 minutes.
He's been shot in the belly, and he's been bleeding out for the movie equivalent of, like, 45 minutes. silently doing it, too. Not screaming and yelling like anyone would. Just silently dying on the ground, and just, you know, all of a sudden, he just has the strength to pop one in the villain.
Find a way. One of mine... a little different because, you know, I like sports movies, but why can all the opposing teams, why can they not come up with a last minute game plan? Like,
terrible.
Nobody
practices 2 minutes.
Why can we not cover the best? Like, how do we not know the best players getting the ball? Can't cover the deep ball. Like, there's like the best player, we cannot find him on the last play of a ball game in the movies. I don't understand it.
It's, that is a good one. Like, you don't know, you know, the guy isn't pulling up and taking the shot in Hoosiers or, you know, whatever it is. And
Hoosiers had one dude who could shoot the ball. But could they find – they couldn't get past the picket fence. Couldn't figure out a way.
It isn't a trope, but you know what we never talk about? How in Varsity Blues, they just – the children fought the coach in the locker room. He left. And then they came back out, and not a single assistant coach was there. And they just coached the game themselves.
It's called loyalty. It's called loyalty to your head man. I would expect the same.
And let's ask the question of Varsity Blues. How does losing one ball game in Texas knock you out of the playoff picture?
Very, very bad region. Very, very bad region. Well,
Varsity Blues was based on the college football scenario BCS era.
Yeah. You lose one, you're done.
Yeah, because in that movie, he's like, they are undefeated. They lose a ball game, and suddenly he can't – I got to win my district title. I can't win state anymore. I'm like, that is a vicious, vicious football thing. That is insane.
That you can win, like, 28 district titles and go to the playoffs, like, three times in your career.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, man.
Can we take a second and just pause and realize the type of actor John Voight is? The range he plays? I'm just kidding.
No, for real. You go watch Varsity Blues, then you go watch Anaconda and see the range.
Come on now.
Oh,
imagine earlier the game knew the reason why the water boy was so successful, why he was able to throw that pass on the last play?
No.
Put it up on the shelf.
He did put it up on the shelf. He got it high on the shelf, too.
Put it up on the shelf, 100%.
So, Adam, what you got, man?
Oh, this is a good one. The fat friend is always funny.
Always.
I know plenty of fat people. I'm a fat person myself. They all aren't funny.
That's why we always have a good time together.
It is. Now, the three of us are all fat, and we all have a great time together, all right? But we also know some miserable fat people out there, all right? The fat person is not always funny.
No.
They are not always making up for a lack of thinness with humor, all right?
And
it's so funny because he's fat.
Immediately.
What was that movie?
Was it Tommy Boy? Might be Tommy.
No. The Hangover.
Oh, yeah.
The Hangover. It's funny because he's fat. Yes.
It's kind of like how the gay best friend is always – first of all, they're never with anybody, but they're always geniuses. Always.
Yes.
They always tell her what she needs to know and who she ought to be with.
And they always have, like, Patton Oswalt does a great bit about it, how he's talking about, like, the gay best friend is, like, the gay equivalent of blackface because every single one of them is, like, really quick and witty. And he goes, he wants to play a gay best friend in a movie, but only if he can play them as the dumbest person in the movie.
Well, that's so true because, you know, Hollywood stereotypes people, but we're not supposed to stereotype at all.
Yes.
Hollywood does it all the time.
Stereotypes are bad, but fat people are hilarious and gay people are geniuses and they're quip machines.
Oh, it's just like everybody makes fun of that trope of the black guy dies first in the horror movie until you
– That's real. I believe
you watch horror movies and black folks always go first every single time.
I got to be honest, I haven't seen a whole lot of movies like that when there's black folks in it. Because they're smart enough, like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, it's mostly white teenagers being like, let's walk into the house covered in human blood.
But not until after we have sex, because that's the number one.
That's what gets you.
I thought Scream did a great job with that, was like attacking that idea. And they played by those rules, because you have to in a slasher movie. They played by them, but they made fun of them while they played by them.
We need to start a conspiracy theory that all horror movies are actually abstinence campaigns. It's just abstinence education, trying to reach the youth. We need to start that conspiracy theory.
That's what Heritage Keepers is going to start teaching.
Oh, and the worst part is when I was watching, I watched documentaries by the barrel, especially during this time, I got nothing to do. And the idea of like the knife as a phallic symbol was always great.
Phallic symbol, drink at home.
Danny, what you got, man?
Once again, I feel like I'm just pigeonholing myself into this action movies, but car wrecks. Car flips. First of all, they're doing 100 miles an hour in downtown New York. Car flips over, rolls 60 times, and then the guy like gets out, like, gets, Mission Impossible is a perfect one. I mean, how many times can Tom Cruise wreck a car and then get out, wobble for three steps, and then by step six, he's up running a Usain Bolt type of a 200 meters.
Yeah. Well, another great one on that one is, the car that blows up. No matter what happens, if a car does wreck, there must be – like, I've been on this world for 35 years. I've yet to see a car blow up, and I feel like I've missed out on opportunities.
You're about to see four blow up this week now because you've said that.
I've only seen one kind of explode a little bit, but that was – my buddy was driving a Dodge, and he had kept parking it underneath the tree, and he got, like, leaves stuck in around there, and it caught fire. That's the only reason why. He was driving down the road, and it ignited. He had to pull over on I-26.
It's like Newman in the episode of Seinfeld. He's just driving the mail van, and it just explodes because they're dragging the golf cart.
I think the other guys did the best version of the explosion trope, though, because when the house blows up, and they're like, when they walk away, it doesn't happen. That is bullshit. I call it, like, that's totally accurate. It's great. Like,
there's no way I don't have soft tissue damage. There's no way I have soft tissue damage.
It's amazing.
Danny, that one was perfect because that one reminded me. Hey, that one reminded me of my favorite one, which another favorite one, No one can run in zigzags or to the left or the right when they are running from something, whether it's the movie monster or it's the spaceship falling in Prometheus. No one can run to their left or their right. You must run in a straight line away from whatever is attacking you.
It's like a track star playing receiver. All they got is linear speed.
All they got is linear speed. All they run is the go.
Putting the ground and run the post.
Oh, hey, that's always that way in like the animal horror movies, because like Lake Placid, they're always running from the crocodile in a straight line, because we all know how the lateral quickness of the crocodile is always excellent.
Very much so.
Yeah. In the shark, again, like the shark movies, they always feel the need to, you know, swim away from shore, because that's always a good idea.
Yeah.
What's also funny in shark movies is, you know, well, the only two people have been eaten by the shark the last 2 days. It's probably full, so I can go swimming now. No! What are you
looking for? You're about to be 3 for 3, son. Like,
come on now.
Oh, and what's funny is you watch Jaws now and realize they're going to open those beaches up and tell me you don't feel kind of like as like the COVID epidemic. It's like, you know, it's over, no doubt. 100%. What are we going to do? You know, it's done. We've already caught it. One of mine, though, I love.
If that's the case.
Go ahead.
If that's the case, if you're equating Jaws to COVID, you know, Governor McMaster is the mayor.
The mayor.
So who's Chief Brody?
Oh, hey, the lady who does the sign language, which I love. One of mine, though, y'all, hackers never need a mouse, and they always type very fast.
Great one.
Awesome. That's amazing.
GoldenEye in particular was good with that one.
And it can always be done in less than 60 seconds. Like, what I know of, what I actually heard about hacking is, you know, it's like basically like walking around in the dark because you saw code. But for some reason in movies, those people can do it in no time. Like, the movie hackers, they change a man's, like, living status in less than 10 seconds, which you have to question how much security. Like, where's their Norton antivirus? That's my question.
They upgrade the firewall.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's like on one of my favorite movies is Ocean's 11, and that whole Ocean's 11, 12, 13 is it 13? Yeah, but the last one, whenever they open up the casino and
the Al Pacino one.
Yeah, Al Pacino. You know, the probably the last decent role he's ever played. Whenever the guy like hacks in and changes everybody's picture just on the laptop, and he keeps the picture keeps going in and out, you know, changing, he's just, you know, typing away. I try to work print shop. I can't get a line on print shop.
Yeah, what you do have to love though is that con movies only work if nobody does their job. Those Ocean movies fall apart if they just say, no, you don't have your badge, you can't come in, go back and get your badge, which is like, if people don't make exceptions, the con falls apart. Just do your job, man. So I got to
just recognize, you know, Casey Affleck plays, you know, 18 different people. You know, this is the same guy with the balloons earlier. Now he's coming. He's trying to drop off money into the, you know, vault. Come on, son.
No doubt about it. All right, man. Adam, we got one. You're the last one. What you got, bro?
Ooh, I think we give the Big Red Machine one more after this. I think our guest deserves one more after this. But I'm gonna go with this one.
You got one?
I got one right now, real quick. Terrible henchmen.
Oh God, bad henchmen.
Bad henchmen like stormtroopers or anyone in an Indiana Jones movie. Like,
why can no one shoot? Like, how can you shoot that many times and hit nothing?
Nothing. I mean, miss everything.
Well, I mean, if you look at real life, that's why terrorists have to use bombs. I mean, you have good aim.
All right, my man is ceded his time. You got one more for us, Denny?
I'm drawing a blank right now.
Oh man, performance anxiety.
Romantic comedies.
Oh.
Romantic comedies. Why does it take so long to discover the love?
Here, let's write every romantic comedy together right now. Two people meet. They're kind of not into each other at first. They start to like each other. Something bad happens. They break up. Big scene. Get back together. Happily ever after.
Oh, 100%. And a subgenre of that is the terrible Hallmark film, because let's go through Hallmark films here. There's a couple different ones, but the main one is Girl Works in City. but she's from small town. Now, small town may or may not be the North Pole. May or may not be, and the mayor may or may not be Santa
Claus. May or may not be related to Santa Claus.
Yes. She goes home. High school flame is there. He looks exactly like he did 12 years ago. She left him in a very crying. She felt she needed to go see the big city. The town, always nothing but white people. Nothing. There's no zero diversity in these towns.
And no traffic. No traffic at all. Yeah. Everybody walks.
No, everyone walks.
Yeah. So her family's business is about to go out of business because of some terrible thing that's happening. But she will organize a harvest festival that keeps them open.
That's Sebastian in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is basically the entire Parks and Recs season 4. Then she will discover her real love, which, by the way, if you start out as the boyfriend in these movies, you never end up being the boyfriend in these movies. Never. You know, he's always a douchebag broker that nobody likes.
Yeah, the guy that wears flannel wins.
And does woodworking.
Yeah. Yes.
And I do forget the fact that always the ex-boyfriend, the boyfriend that she used to have back in the day, is now the town sheriff, which is always important. And then ends up, she discovers the true meaning of Christmas and that it was all in her the whole time. And she moves to the town. Nobody knows how she's going to make money. Nobody knows, you know, but the white town in Vermont is going to be okay because the girl moved back from New York City.
Yeah. Also, like, they always, their family always owns a shop. Like, we sell, like, we sell antique cuckoo clocks, or we sell, you know, leather bound books. And apparently it's just a thriving in this Vermont town.
I mean, the town of 2000, they're just constantly buying, you know, maple syrup.
Yes.
In the shop, or going to, you know, the little diner or whatever.
And there is not a Walmart to be found anywhere near a town in a Hallmark movie. Not anywhere.
No ugly people.
Oh, well, boys, this has been a lot of fun. I'm sure everybody who listens, all 15 of y'all, we are a sister podcast to the Perlo podcast, top 10 list from the South Carolina Low Country. That comes on, I would love to tell you what day it's going to be, but we do like multiple a week now because we're all bored, as you can tell by my meme fact checking. So please check that out. We want to thank our guest, Denny, for being here, man. Thanks for coming on, being the first ever guest. Not everybody wants to come on and just jab with these two guys. As a matter of fact, our guy who does the Perlo podcast has never been on this, so he's a very special.
By the way, the Perlo podcast, I'm gonna plug it. It's really good. I believe your the wrestling top 10 is probably the best show y'all have performed so far. So.
Easily our best one.
Easily, no question.
No question.
Especially because it went back to former eras that we were not alive for.
Yeah.
Also, check out Short Stories from Black History. Another one of our friends is doing one, Amandre, who actually researches his topics, which is a fun diversion from our, you know, just making stuff up on top of our head. Yeah. Please have a good week. Stay safe. Take it easy, guys.
Appreciate it.
Have a good one.